Welcome, friends. This is Jessica Ortner, the producer of The Tapping Solution, formerly known as Try It on Everything. Here at thetappingsolution.com, we like to bring you not only the best in energy psychology, but simply the best information that will inspire you to live the life you deserve. This is why I am so thrilled to have Guy Finley with us. Guy is the best-selling author of The Secret of Letting Go and The Essential Laws of Fearless Living, as well as over 35 other books and audio programs that have sold over a million copies in 18 languages worldwide. Today, we will hear his insights on living a fearless life based on his book, The Essential Laws of Fearless Living. Welcome, Guy.
Hi, thank you, Jessica.
Thank you. Guy, before we jump into talking about how to live a fearless life, I'd like to talk about fear itself and why this information is so important. How do you describe fear, and what impact do you really see fear having on people's lives today?
Well, I think to start with, we'll take the second question first, because it'll help us understand the first part. Fear, Jessica, the simplest definition of it is that it's a possibility killer. It kills any hope or chance that an individual has, number one, to become a different kind of human being in the moment where that transformation is possible, and secondly, as a result of the loss of that possibility, we lose out on the opportunity we have to make an impact in our personal life, in the world, in our relationships, in our profession, or whatever course we may be taking. So, and all of us know this. I think the reason that these kind of conversations are so important is because it gradually helps all of us clarify for ourselves what we already know to be true, and that is that we're not meant to be subjects of fear. The rest is sort of the legwork of what is required on our part to be released from our false relationship that we have with it.
Mm-hmm. Fear seems like something that has been so ingrained in our lives, probably from a very young age. How do you get from a place of fear being just kind of an everyday occurrence to living a fearless life?
You know, it's a funny thing, Jessica. So many good questions like that one are answered in the simplest way. We don't really understand how much fear impacts our life. We don't see how it's, you know, rooted. If anyone who ever had a lawn that gets dandelions in them, or tries to grow a garden and gets some kind of weed running through it that whose roots, like we have poison oak here in the south, in the northwest, and poison oak sends out runners so that you can find a plant, but its root may be 50 yards long. You tear out the plant, but the root remains. And it's the same thing when it comes to these fears. If we really recognize, Jessica, how deeply rooted we are in a relationship with fear, we wouldn't put up with it for another moment. But we've become conditioned to accepting fear in our lives, not just as something that sort of has to be there given an event, but, and to the point of your question, we actually look at fear now as a guide, as something to help us out of moments that we don't want, because we don't see how that same nature is projecting itself as a help to us when in fact it does nothing but hurt us.
So then, Guy, what are the first steps that we really need to take to build what you call a foundation of fearless living?
Well, it begins with seeing what we're just covering. Mm-hmm. In this instance, and we'll simplify it a little bit, what happens, Jessica, you be the advocate for the listeners, what happens in a moment where, let's just say something comes along, someone says something, or life poses in a moment the presence of a problem. What do we do when we're suddenly afraid of any given moment? What do we do, Jessica?
We don't really do anything. I mean,
Well, in a
it's
way,
that
you're right.
feeling of it's that feeling of being frozen, panic, and then most often we complain.
Now listen, because we've touched on something valuable. You said we don't do anything, and that's exactly right. Now I'll translate that. In the moment of a fear, what happens to us is that we are indeed, we're brought to a dead stop, a halt. We feel frozen, and here's the key, and then without seeing it, we turn our lives over to whatever thought or feeling appears conveniently in our mind at that moment to tell us what to do about what is threatening us. And this is where we have to enter into what I call the presence moment. We need to be there in that instant to recognize that any thought or feeling that comes along and tells me what to do about a fear is itself a part of the fear I'm trying to free myself from. Because the truth is, who and what we are has nothing to fear. Who and what we are is created, this is what I call the heart of a fearless life, is created to understand that whatever comes to us, no matter shape or form, has come to us to educate us, to teach us, to help us transform our present understanding that holds that fear into an understanding that who we are need never fear anything. So if and when these negative thoughts come along, as they do, here's the moment, and I'm not sure what to do. Oh my God, look at this. And it starts telling me, oh, you need to go, blast that person. You need to make a plan to make a lot of money so that you never have to face this situation again. All of those plans, all of that material that our mind gives us in those moments, Jessica, is actually fear telling us what to do to be free of fear. And when we see that clearly, we're done with anything that fear tells us to do, because now we've made the great discovery, and this is what it is. We don't need new powers in the face of something that is punishing us. What we need to do is wake up and stop consenting to that punishment, stop consenting to be powerless, and reclaim our natural right to rule ourselves by being present to ourselves in that moment.
So, Guy, then talk us through when you are facing a challenge in your life, because I think fear kind of can creep up with any of us. So when you find a challenge, talk us through kind of how in that moment, what is going through your mind.
Well, look, and this is pretty important in one respect to clarify here, because we're not, and anyone who tells you differently is frankly just telling you a lie. I'm not saying that there is a life in which one never again feels a fear. What I am saying unequivocally is that there is a life in which one realizes, and listeners, you may want to write this down because it's to the heart of all that Jessica and I will discuss. When it comes to fear, it's a little poem. The feel is real, but the why is a lie. The feel is real, but the why is a lie. That's what we never understand presently. Because when the feel comes to us of being afraid, produced by a mind that projects the meaning of an event, and then, without knowing that it's looking at a picture that it has made, resists its own negative imagery, adrenals kick in, we feel the fear, and then because we feel the fear, our mind then begins to validate that fear, Jessica, by coming up with plans to protect us from it. What I'm saying is that the feel is real, but the why is a lie. And when we know in the moment, the onset of a fear, that the why is a lie, then that stops the whole mechanical process by which we become a captive of that miserable fear. So that's the thing to understand. And we must prove this to ourselves. We must be able to see that Fear is always the outcome of negative imagination. Without negative imagination, no such thing as psychological fear exists. When we see that, then we get the feeling, there it is, it's part of the way in which we outgrow who and what we've been. And as we see this, we let go. We drop all the thoughts that come along that want to support our suffering, and instead choose being aware of this process instead of being dragged as an unconscious participant in the fear that's punishing us.
Mm-hmm. Guy, one of your famous quotes is, never speak out of anger, never act out of fear, never choose from impatience, but wait and peace will appear. Now, with everything that you're saying here, does it really come down to in that moment of feeling that fear, being able to stop and be patient for a solution, for an answer, or for this peace?
Yeah, that's another good question. Look, I'm going to make a statement that I know is true, and you, the listeners, will have to decide whether or not you want to know the truth of it for yourself without having to think about it. Who you really are has nothing to fear, period. We don't know that truth. We may think we do. We may even say, well, you know, I love Christ. I believe in God, the divine, the Holy Mother, whatever it is, and I know I'm safe and free. But when the fear comes, when the moment appears that produces the fear, we become captives of a level of ourself that believes in fear, period. As long as we believe in fear, we're going to serve it. When that idea of wait and peace will appear that you read begins to dawn on us as the only true alternative, then we can begin to do a certain kind of exercise. I call it stop, drop, and endure. Stop, drop, and endure. Here comes the moment. I'm at work and there's a rumor about downsizing. I look over and my boyfriend or girlfriend, my husband or wife, I can see their eye wandering, or I fear they may be untrue. I sense a best friend may be lying to me. You fill in the blank. There's a thousand of them. I get news about my own mortality. In that moment, the sleeping mind, a mind that is not attentive to its own activity, takes the moment and projects from it. It makes a meaning out of the moment. It tells us, our mind tells us, what will happen now as a result of this event. The mind that tells us what will happen is dreaming what will happen. It doesn't know, it can't. But the mind that dreams the future doesn't know it dreams a negative future. It doesn't know that it then resists the very future it projects, because it is asleep to itself. And as it begins to resist what it is imagining, it begins to plan ways around the punishment it's feeling for what it's doing to itself. As we realize this is true, we simply come to a stop. We come back into our bodies, we reclaim our own attention, and we realize my mind is about to take off like a wild horse running back to the barn after a long run. I need to pull up on the reins here and bring myself to a stop in the present moment. That's the stop part. You feel the onset of the stress, and you just bring yourself into the moment, and you drop, that's the next part of the exercise, you drop what you see your mind is now starting to weave around you as being true. You see your mind, through association, start telling you all of the miserable things that are going to take place as a result of this event. But you know, because you came to a stop, that this is just thought. These fears belong to who and what you have been up until that moment. the level of self, for instance, that believes that it's no one unless it possesses something, that it doesn't have any value unless others agree that it's worthwhile. That level of self is revealed through the event. We want the transformation of that self, not to change the things that we feel we must in order to control our fears. That's where the endure part comes in the exercise. We've come to a stop, we wake up, we drop because we're aware of how we're being drawn into dark pictures, and then we endure for as long as we must the pressure that this old self applies to us in order to keep it going, in order for it to have continuity. We disconnect ourselves consciously from all of that blathering that that nature is doing with all of its threats, and we endure whatever we must until suddenly, because it is a law that it will, that whole thing collapses and we see that the feel indeed was real, but the why was indeed a lie.
Guy, what do you do? What do you say yourself to yourself when you are in that place of enduring? Because enduring does not sound like the most pleasant thing to do. And so how do you stop yourself from just going and acting very quickly and instead enduring? I mean, is there any tricks or tips to make this a little bit easier?
And I know your question goes right to the heart of why most people don't really change. If I see the truth of a situation, for instance, Jessica, imagine for a moment that you and I are in a small plane, God forbid, and we crash in the desert somewhere and we survive. Mm-hmm. And let's say that for the sake of the example, you and I are both carrying a small bag of diamonds that we won as a result of our hard work. But there we are, we're in the desert, and we have no water, but we each have a bag of diamonds. Now, when we first crash and we survive and everything's well, we know we're in trouble and that we have to walk out of this desert, and so we take with us what's most valuable to us. We take with us maybe a picture of someone we love. We take with us some protective clothing, some way to make fire, and we take our bag of diamonds. Are you agreeing with me on this picture?
What are the diamonds for?
Well, they're valuable, and when we get out of the desert, we want to have them with us.
Okay, gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we worked all of our lives, in quotes, to win those. Now we don't want to just throw them away.
Right.
So here we are, and we walk and walk, and there's no water, and then we find, by the grace of God, a little oasis. But we know we still have 100 miles to go, so the choice is, do we take and empty the diamonds out to put water in our little bag, or do we keep the diamonds and not have the water? Which do we do, Jessica?
I'd go for the water, personally.
Yeah, of course we do.
Right.
Why? Because our awareness of our actual situation tells us what's valuable. And water is more valuable than diamonds in the desert. Similarly, when we see the truth of our situation, that fear, regardless of how painful it may be, when it is trying to push us into whatever form it says we must assume to be free, when we know that that can do nothing for us, and I'll say it in simple terms, when we know that fear pretends to love us when it promises liberty, but is actually lashing us and capturing us in that moment, we will endure what we must because we see the value of consciously suffering what formerly we unconsciously suffered for no reason at all.
Right. And do you find, because my experience of this enduring, of this concept of letting the emotions flow through you and I guess that's the same. We talk about it in the film, but letting emotions flow through you, I think it's another way to say endure it until it passes. Do you find that once you begin this process that it becomes easier every time around?
Another great question. The answer is yes and no, Jessica. This is great. Yes, because we begin to grow in a certain kind of spiritual way in which we actually realize that negative states are mechanical, that they have no life outside of what we unconsciously lend to them through resistance. Resistance is negative attraction. Resistance is negative attraction. It's also a form of consent. So when we begin to realize that we can withdraw our consent from being afraid, from these negative states that want to drag us into their stream, that we will see that the stream dies out because it's no longer being fed by force. We give it through our wrong participation with it. But while that's true, which is a beautiful thing, it's also true that there are always deeper and higher lessons to be learned about who we are and who we are not. So that in one respect, there's always a little deeper gold to be extracted from our true nature in terms of our relationship with it, which is always going to require a little bit of deeper, more difficult digging. So it goes in two directions at once. I actually just wrote about this very fact in my blog. We see simultaneously, in a mercifully alternating way, we see more darkness and then more light. And then more darkness and more light. And we make the grand discovery, and this is what I said right at the outset of our conversation, the grand discovery that in the real world, darkness serves the light. It is not antithetical to it. It's actually the soil out of which the spirit, the fruit of spirit, grows, so that we begin to realize that what we fear is merely an opportunity to transcend the level of our self-caring, whatever it does that it's attached to and fears losing. And it's a beautiful upward spiral, Jessica, as we realize the significance of these things we're discussing.
And it just seems like completely on the other side of the spectrum of what's commonly known as the victim mentality.
Oh, absolutely. We are not created to be victims. Victims impose upon themselves, by a certain unconscious process of the mind, the misery that they blame as being exterior to themselves. I call it revisiting the scene of the crime. Why on God's earth would any human being want to relive something that causes them to suffer? We do because we don't know we have a choice, that our consciousness is intended to be attended to at all times and not allowed to drag us into where it wants to go because of the sense of continuity it provides. Don't revisit the scene of the crime. Your attention belongs to you, and the sooner you see that, the more you will be able to work at stop, drop, and endure, and at the same time, never again feel a victim of anything.
When you teach this concept, Guy, I know you speak to hundreds and thousands of people. Do you find that often people hear this and they say, it's safer for me to be the victim because I can make sure if I continue to fear something, I can make sure it never happens again?
Yeah, and that's where it becomes one of those things where, and this is another great lesson that comes to us as we go along the upper way. Look, every last one of us is, in fact, doing the best we know how to do. But whenever there's a fear or a pain or a worry, an anger, that's an indication that the best we know how to do is not the best we can be. And so you realize that every one of us experiences, moment to moment, the reward of our own nature. And our nature is nothing more than what we understand and value. So that when people understand and value whatever it is that makes them a victim, one day, God willing, they will see where they have unwillingly conspired to their own captivity. Then they become teachable. then they begin to want to understand where it is that they have been producing their own limitation. This is all you can do.
Mm-hmm. Guy, in your book, I was reading, and you write that that life. Wait, let me hold on. It said, "Want what?" This is it. It's want what life wants.
Yeah.
And you talk about this. Can you talk to us about the saying, "Want what life wants"? What does that really mean?
How many of us, and again, you play advocate for the listeners, Jessica, how many of us will agree that at least half of the time, and I'm picking a conservative figure, at least half of the time we spend wishing that what just happened to us didn't happen? Would you agree that's fairly accurate?
Yes, I would agree.
Now, that's conservative, I think, but let's just say it's true. 50% of my day, I'm at work wishing I wasn't doing what I'm doing. I'm with people wondering why they are the way they are. I'm by myself wondering what's going to happen to me. All of this wishing that things were different is the same as resisting the moment. Would you agree with me about that?
Yes, I would agree.
Now, here's a statement. It is impossible to learn from life and resist it at the same time. Because when we resist a moment, by the very nature of the resistance, we are separating ourselves out from whatever the moment reveals. Now, if I separate myself from life, can I learn its lessons, Jessica?
No.
No, because the lessons that life brings, I say they ride in on the back of events, real lessons in life are the only way in which we become integrated. Or more accurately said, we discover that within us exists a union that's possible in any given moment, regardless what life seems to bring to us. We can transcend ourselves and become more whole. If life is, in fact, a good life, listeners, you put in the words you like, if God is good, if the truth is true, if there is love as the founder of this universe, then that means that all moments in our lives are the expression of that goodness, of that greatness, of that love. And that is the truth. When we begin to realize that whatever we resist is going to persist because we're actually attracting to ourselves the condition we don't want, then we can begin letting go of this resistance. Now we're back to stop, drop, and endure, because now we're going to do the thing that we start realizing is true, that we know is true, instead of what our negative state is telling us is true. And that is, all right now I feel afraid. Right now I'm resisting what you just said to me, but I know in my heart that there is a goodness behind this seeming badness. I am going to wait and see what the truth of the moment is. An example. When someone says something to us we don't like, our usual reaction is to blame the person or the situation for the pain we're in, right?
Yep.
Here's the new exercise. When something comes along that we don't want, we're going to learn to say to it, "Thank you. I didn't know that about myself. Thank you. I didn't know that about myself." Why are we going to do that? Because instead of letting our mind divide us up between a moment that we don't want and the self that doesn't want it, we're going to see that the moment we don't want and the self that doesn't want it are the same thing. They are not separate moments. They are not separate creatures. They are one nature divided into two. Seeing this is the beginning of releasing this resistance. And as we release resistance to life, we discover that life brings with the lessons it does the answers to the questions those lessons seem to pose. And the answer is always the same lesson. Who and what we are has come to this moment caring what it did because it valued what it did. The moment is showing us that we can be delivered from that level of ourself as soon as we see it is inadequate to the present task. Then, Jessica, and this is something the listeners will have to see for themselves, you will discover that you are given in that moment an entire new understanding about yourself and the world that you walk through. That new understanding and that new relationship with life is what you were really looking for all along, that you placed in the form of some possession, relationship, or attachment that ultimately had to be let go again.
Mm-hmm. Guy, you've shared so much information with us in this very short time. When this interview is over, 5 minutes after someone who's listening to this stops listening to it and they're going on with their day, what do you want them to remember?
Basically, if there's one thing to remember when it comes to this fear business, let us, and we can write down, let's write down these words. Do what is in your power and refuse to do what is not. Do what is in your power and refuse to do what is not. It is not in your power to change the circumstance that fear wants to blame for its presence in you. But it is in your power. It is in your power to see that fear wants to steal from you the power of choices. It wants to steal from you. Look, when you're afraid, how many choices do you have? Jessica, how many?
Well, I don't know what the right answer is. I would say if you're fear and you're frozen, you don't feel like you have many.
That's it. At the very best, the choices that you have in that moment are the ones that fear is giving you.
Mm.
Yes or no?
Yep.
I mean, listeners, please try to see it. Suddenly I'm gripped by fear, and now it is the mind of fear talking to me. Now it seems to be that I need to find a way to protect myself. Does strength need to protect itself?
No.
Does love need to protect itself? Does the light fear darkness, Jessica? Does light plan ways around darkness? Or does light change whatever it touches?
It changes whatever it touches.
And that's where we have to work. We are going to wake up in the moment of worry. We're going to bring ourselves into the light of our awareness, because that's in our power, to give our attention to this awareness. And by staying aware of the fear, the light of that awareness will reveal to us that the fear is a falsehood. Its only power is that it convinces us to take its side, and we're not going to do it anymore. That's what I would leave the listeners with. It is in your power to attend to your own awareness instead of letting fear tell you what you should be aware of and serve.
Wonderful, Guy. Thank you so much. And I know that you have a special offer in store for all our listeners, all our subscribers. Can you tell us a little bit about the secret of being unstoppable, the CD set?
It is a really important set of talks. It's actually 16 CDs, 16 one-hour CDs that cover every one of the major ideas concerning an individual discovering that spirit of fearlessness, that self that cannot be stopped anywhere along the path of life, because it has made the grand discovery that what is in the way is part of the way. This is the real unstoppable nature, realizing that whatever is in the way is part of the way, and the only thing that's blocking me in this moment is what I have yet to understand about myself. So this series of talks, The Secrets of Being Unstoppable, helps the listener first identify where it is that they have unconsciously limited themselves, and then begin the beautiful process of awakening to this self-limitation so that it can be dropped and someone can discover within themselves how to go on with what it is they know is true.
Wonderful. And for all of you who are listening, make sure you click on the link that's in the newsletter, because Guy has been generous enough to provide us a very generous discount. So thank you very much for that, Guy, and thank you for this incredible eye-opening interview.
I enjoyed it, Jessica. The questions were great, and I'm going to hope that all the listeners understand that anytime they choose, they can, and do it right now, we can change our relationship with life by changing what we're in relationship with in ourselves.
Well said. Thank you, Guy.
Welcome.